Yudei Torah Mashda Beis Menachemov Tavshin Pe'alef Rabbi Yehuda Yoni Rubenstein.
I don't have to state the obvious. It's fabulous to be back. I hope we've all been well despite the you don't get it. Testing. I don't know if you heard that. I said it's obviously, you know, I don't have to say the obvious. It's wonderful to be back. I hope you've all been well. Sorry? Things remain constant. Yesterday we see the transition between Moshe Rabbeinu being the one who brings us halachas and brings us dinim and mishpat to the one who gives Musa. But before he did that, the end of his giving halachas, giving mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, is the mitzvah to go to war against Midian. And the pasuk says, Nekom nikos b'nei Yisrael me'esa Midianim, achte otzev l'amecha. You go to fight a war, and it's a double loshen. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael. A double loshen of nekoma, of fighting a war of vengeance on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and after that you're going to be gathered to your people. So the Alshon HaKodesh is intrigued by the double loshen. Why two loshonis? And secondly, he wants to know what's this idea of after you'll be gathered to your people. So he says something which I think is very interesting. So the Alshon says the following. Obviously, enemies of Klal Yisrael, attacks on Klal Yisrael historically go in two pashas. I suppose you could put them into Purim and Hanukkah. In Purim, the idea is that there's going to be a destruction of the goof of Klal Yisrael. These are like Nazis. Hanukkah is more like the communists. They're quite happy to accept the goof, but they want to get rid of the neshama. Of the two, then obviously to destroy a Yid's neshama is much, much worse. Which, it says the Alshach, is why an Edomi, who come against us with a sword, or a Mitzri, who came against us with a sword, could still become Ger and join Klal Yisrael. But Midian tried to destroy the Neshama of Klal Yisrael. And to destroy the Neshama of Klal Yisrael is unforgivable. And therefore this is a war to wipe them out completely. They've done something absolutely terrible. This is the Loshon of the Alshach. Arkein Hasuga Rishon Otzum Oed. So therefore to destroy the Neshama, to attempt to destroy the Kesher between Hashem Yisbarach and Klal Yisrael, this is much, much worse. And consequently, Nog ad nefesh v'yim v'seno, and they want to destroy the nefesh of Klal Yisrael. Now the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in not doing what Pinchas did, there's a tefiah against him. He should have been the one who chat the kanoyas. After all, the halacha is clear, and gone and killed him. There are different mafoshim, they give different teretzim as to why he didn't do it. Remember, Rashi says he forgot the halacha, we saw it said. And there are other explanations there as well. But the Alshon goes on and says an interesting thing. So first of all, the double loshen of Nakoma is because when it comes to Midian, they attempted to do two things. First of all, it was Me'es B'nei Yisrael. The Alshon points out that when Balaam hatches his plot to destroy Klal Yisrael, it was in two fronts. Make sure that you are going to destroy them spiritually by getting them to disconnect from Hashem Yisbarach. And if you look carefully at the Loshon there, it says that they are the Am who start to do Znus. And then it says Yisrael. There are two categories of Yidden. The Moabite woman seduced the Am, the ordinary Jews. The Midianite woman, it was the Yisrael. It was the most choshev of Klal Yisrael. They targeted them. To disconnect those, Hashem finds this unforgivable. But the consequence of that was 24,000 deaths. So Midian attack was both. They checked both, or they ticked both boxes. There was the goof and the neshama. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as there's a tevia against you that you didn't stand and stop this like Pinchas did, this is your last mitzvah, the last mitzvah for you to get to Klal Yisrael and participate in, and that's to put that right. So listen to the Loshon here. I think you'll find this is interesting. Okay. Avinu shebashamayim, b'havoso es Moshe. The Rabban Shem, in his love for Moshe Rabbeinu, Ke'av al ben Yitzhak, he loves him like a father loves a son. Omer lov, asa zois, eifo, mekeshet, atzmechon, letaken, adover. So now is your opportunity to put right what you failed to do before, in stopping Midian in their tracks, and mekeshet yourself, wear a crown of tikkun, interesting lashon, who beterem tov elav asecha, before you come to your fathers, before you pass away. But listen to what he says. Because we all know, the idea of passing away and being gathered to your people, that when a tzaddik dies, then his kruvim, his mother, his father, his baba, his zaydis, all his mishpacha, come to greet the niftar. When the tzaddik is niftar, and the shama leaves the guf, then his family come to greet him. And also his, the loshon is, v'anshi mechitzlosi, and all the people, his rashi yeshiva, his rabbis, all the people that he came across in his life, they all come to meet him. And they bring you up to your place in Shemayim. It's a beautiful idea. But if that tzaddik, there is a tviya against him from the midas adin, which in this case there is going to be in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he didn't do what Pinchas did, now is your chance to put it right, and then you can be gathered to your people. So now we understand, according to the Al Shekhwaiska, a double loshon in the comma, and why it goes on to say you'll be gathered to your people. Fine. But this idea of being gathered to your people is, and be greeted and joining your mishpocha and your mom and your daddy, your babas and your zedas and shemaim. There's a mardika maisa I heard from Alex Strom many years ago. Maybe you've heard this maisa. It's an incredible maisa. Obviously, during the Second World War, all the property of the Yidden in Poland and in other countries they conquered was confiscated. And when in Poland, you can't hear. I'll try and bring it here. Is that better? Is that better? Okay. All the property was confiscated. And when the communists took over Poland, then the communists continued the confiscation. So Alex was explaining that what happened was that somewhere, I'm not sure, was the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, if I saw, you get to a certain age when all these seem just a little while ago. But anyway, Yidden who, or the Yorshim of Yidden who had property in Poland, sued the Polish government in American courts, which forced the Polish government to actually give back property. There was a Belzechos, he'd somewhere in London, don't know his name, and he now re-inherited or got back his family's property, which was a whole street in Krakow. So he used to go and see that the guy who was looking after the non-Jewish capello in charge of the property, who was looking after it, was managing properly. I think he used to go twice a year to make sure everything was kosher. And he always used to arrive, I think, at Warsaw Airport, and he'd get into a taxi, and off he would go, and he would stay in the exact same hotel. He didn't like to stay in the hotel room because there's a TV there, and even though you don't switch on, you're probably, like me, you feel margish, so there's a real chatumah there. And so he would sit down in the foyer, the entrance of the hotel, with a coffee, and learning a sefer. And one time that he was visiting, he saw somebody at the corner of his eye, an old lady, walking past and stopping and looking at him. And she came in. And he looks up, and as she's standing opposite him, she said, "Can I speak to you?" And of course. So she sits down, she says, "You're a Jew, yes?" I mean, bells, of course, would pay us a big hat, but yeah. "Yes, I'm a Jew, yeah." She said, "So am I. I want to tell you that I've just been diagnosed. I went to the doctor 2 weeks ago, and he said you've got something like a month, maybe 2 months to live." And she told her story. Her story was that she was a little baby during the Milchama. Her parents had given her to non-Jewish friends because they were going to be relocated to the East. But they chapped and they understood exactly what the mashmos was of that. And so they gave it to this neighbor, and with money and a letter and an address to the sister who was in New York, with the instructions that if we come back, we'll take our baby back. If we don't come back, then you'll get in touch with my sister and the baby will be sent to America. That was the plan anyway. Of course, the parents didn't come back. The family didn't get in touch with the sister in New York. They fell in love with the little baby. And they brought her up as a religious Catholic. And that's the way she was brought up. She married a religious Catholic fellow who was mamish verbrennt. And she explained that this had been her life. Last night, she said, my mother came to me in a dream. And she said, if you're not buried in a Yiddish asylum, then you will not be able to join me in heaven. I won't be able to come down and bring you back. You've got to be buried in a Jewish graveyard. But I don't know what to do. If I tell my husband, who's this verbrennt a Catholic, that I'm a Jew, he won't wait for the 2 months till I'm nifteres. I don't know what to do. So, I mean, imagine you sitting there. Imagine somebody posed that question to you. What do you say? He said, well, I'm not a rov. Can you give me some time to think about this? So she sits waiting, and he thinks, and he thinks, and he thinks. And then eventually says, look, if have you got a friend, a very close friend? She said, my next door, across the landing in my apartment, she's my best friend. My suggestion is that you write down precisely what you told me in a letter addressed to your husband, and ask her to give this to your husband after your nifteres. After your nifteres. And that way, expressing it, your dying wish is to be buried in a Jewish graveyard. And that's the best way to solve the problem. And she liked the idea. And off she went. And that was that. He went back to London every couple of years. He would go back. I think if I remember right, it was 3 years later. He gets into a taxi in Warsaw. He's being driven to Krakow. And the taxi driver looks behind him and says, are you Jewish? He's Polish. Seemed very Polish. He says, are you Jewish? And he says, yes, so am I. Really? Yeah, you know what? We didn't know we were Jewish. But 3 years ago, my mother died. And when she died, she left a message to my father in a letter saying that we're Jewish. And I'm Jewish too. He said, what? Stop the car. Stop the car. He says, pulls the car up. He said, tell me the whole story. I know your mother. I was the one that gave her the suggestion. I think it's the same story. So Taka was the same story. And Taka, she was Nifteres. And they're sitting, if I said, I don't know exactly how Polish people do this, but they're sitting awake or something like that. Having lots of vodka, probably. In comes the neighbour, goes up to the husband, the mourning husband, and hands the letter. He picks up the letter, opens it, reads it, gives like a shry, and mamish faints. The whole family rushes round, they bring him water, they revive him. What happened, Daddy? And he reads out the letter. Mila Bamila, the exact same story that I just told you was in the letter. He said, I've been married to your mother for 36 years, and at no time did I suspect for one second that she was a Jew. And at no time did she suspect that I was a Jew too. I was a little baby boy who was given away to a non-Jewish family to get the exact same story. I am a Jew, said the taxi driver. He said he's got a sister who lives in Detroit. She simply refuses, she's from Catholic, she simply refuses to believe it. She says, my father only said that because he loved my mother so much because he wanted to be buried next to my mother. But he said, but I've got many, many riots. In actual fact, my daddy was Taka Jewish. I suppose he was circumcised. Shine. The idea of somebody coming to meet you and bring you, but if it's a tevia against you, Taki, you have to put it right. And if you don't put it right, then you can't get that greeting, that escort to Shemayim. So there's only one tefillah against Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is Midian. Really? Here's the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah is something that always worries me. Well, I won't go. We only have half an hour, I believe. This is the Medrash Rabbah, and it's in Shmois, and it's Membeis, and Medrash Rav. Lech Reit. This is after the Egel Azov. Lech Reit. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down. Lech Reit. And of course, it's a diak. Why is it double loshen? Just say Lech. What's the Lech Reit? Kishichas Amka. Because your people have behaved terribly. Ha'am ein ksiv kam el Amka. Doesn't say the people, but your people. Amar Moshe Rabbeinu oilam minayin heim ami. He says, my people? Sometimes husbands and wives have arguments. Now, I know none of you know about this. But in some marriages, there's a fight sometimes between a husband and wife. And very commonly, the wife says, your son? Do you know what your son did? That broken window. Your son and his football. My son? You had nothing to do with this? You didn't carry him for 9 months in your womb and give birth to him? And Hashem says, Amcha. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, my people. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amcha. Yeah, talking your people, him. Sha'ad Shehoyim Mitzrayim, when you were still in Mitzrayim, Amarti L'cho, I'd already told you. But say, see, es tibosai, es ami, bring out my people. Lo Amarti L'cho, then I say to you, Shalom La'orav Behem Erev Rav. You shouldn't mix the Erev Rav in with this. Atza Shayisi Onav Kosher. But because you're an Onav, and because you're kosher, very interesting Aloshim. I've been struggling to find somebody who comments on that, Nakuda and Medrash, for the last couple of weeks. You always bring back Shavim. Says the Rabban Shavim to Moshe Rabbeinu, I knew what they were going to do in the future. But it's, says the Eitz Yosef and say, it's this rhetorical, but I couldn't tell you. The Rabban Shavim doesn't tell you because that would take away your Bechira. About Asisir Sonka, so therefore I loved you to do what you wanted to do. The Haim Haim Sha also is a eagle, Shahoya Zara, and it was then the name the eagle, Amcha your people. That's the Medrash Rabbah. I found the Loshon of the Medrash Rabbah extremely strange. Did you find any strangeness there? Let's read this a little bit again. Atash Yisi on the Kosha Amati Loyla Makablim Hashovim. Rabban Shalom. You, this is what Moshe says to him, you're always Mekabel Shovim. You've got to bring them back. Now, when I give a shiur in the Shul Adavnin in New York, a Shabbos afternoon, and I said to them last week, or 2 weeks ago before I came here, I've been here for 12 days already. I was in quarantine in Prestwich. I was in prison. So the last shiur I gave, I said to them, I'm going back to Manchester in a few weeks' time. And I said, anybody here ever been to Manchester? Nebuch. They had never been in Manchester. You have to feel sorry for Americans. Anyway, self. Therefore, I said, I can say I'm going back. Could they say they're going back? If you say you're going back, what does it imply? You've been there. The Al-Shech in Parsha Shmoyz, he quotes this Medrash Rabbah and changes the Loshon completely. Peladik Azar. He quotes the Medrash Rabbah, but changes the Loshon. Listen to this. Here's the same Medrash. And it's so different that I thought to myself, perhaps it's a different Medrash Rabbah. And I looked and couldn't find it anywhere. And remember, the Al-Shuk, in the original Al-Shuk, somebody, one of my Talmidim, I give an Al-Shuk, private Al-Shuk share to somebody, and he gave me a first edition of the Al-Shuk, printed by the Al-Shuk's son, which I have way, way back, printed in Venice, but that's a different story. Sof. So here's the Medrash I just read to you. Here's what the Al-Shuk, how he renders it. Shom Hashem al Moshe, Ein li chepes be'erev rav, ha'ein li mir b'nai. I've got no desire for this erev rav that I've come out with my sons. Ve'heshev Moshe Rabbeinu lev Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu turned around and said, nu, what did he say? Isn't your door always open to Mekabel Shabbat? That's not what the Al-Shuk says. Listen to this. Isn't it good to kind of these lost souls? That's not what he said. He said, your door's always open to the Mekabel Shabbat. Now look, what does it mean when he says that what Midian did, what it killed the Neshamas of Kal Yisrael? Is that true? Even the ones who were killed, even people who did avera. If you die, and Takah is avera against you, so you can't get to Shemayim. But is that the end of the story? We don't believe so. We believe there is tikkun even afterwards. It might be that Rahman Aslan Yid has to go to Gehenna. But it might be that Yid could be Nizgalgo and come back in order to be mitaken what he or she did wrong in this world. Oivdash, souls that were lost, and souls to return. Now, we only have half an hour. There's tons to say in this. If you're interested in how neshamas get here, there's a very famous orachaim in the bracha that Yaakov gave in Vayichi, I think it's Memches in Posek Tes, with regards to Yehuda, and it says Gur Ari Yehuda is an orachaim that it talks about neshamas coming to earth. Very, very interesting. And don't really, it's too big a subject really to go into. But certainly we do believe, in fact, Ramat Tzion Solomon, Zalzayin Refuah Shleima, I remember many years ago in Gateshead, when I was a young man, turning around and saying to us there, a vat that used to have, we've all been here before. When Rabbi Eli went into the Ger Rebbe for a bracha when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, as soon as he walked into the room, the Rebbe exclaimed loudly in excitement, oh, a new neshama, a new soul. That's very, very unusual at this time in history, in the world's history. Apparently we've all been here before. That means we're here to either put right what we did wrong before, or to achieve what we failed to achieve before. So what does it mean that the neshama that has been corrupted by the Midianites, they did the Verazan, they died, they were killed, etc. But that said, they killed them. Do you kill a neshama like that? Is that how it works? And the Mesilas Yesharim, as we all know in the Perek Dalet, Mesilas Yesharim says that a Yid does something wrong and does tshuva, kiras ha-rotzen ka-kiras ha-maisa. The Rabban Hashem considers that's when you're here. If you do tshuva when you're here, then a kiras ha-rotzen ka-kiras ha-maisa, you can put that right here. But even if you fail to put it right here, there's a possibility of coming back and putting it right when you come back. This idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being an onov and kosher, we all know the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph. I've certainly quoted it to you here before, when it talks about the children that were being squished into the holes in the wall. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem Yisbarach and says, Lama Hari Ois La'am Hazeh? Why have you done bad to the Jewish people? And Hashem says, this is a Rashi who's quoting a Medrash, that Medrash we have lost, I can't find that Medrash. But Rashi says, Hashem said to him, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Koitzim him. These children will grow up to be koitzim thorns in the side of Klal Yisrael. They'll grow up to be Rishoyim. But if you want, you can save one. So Moshe goes and he saves one. Now, we talked about this 3 years ago in this year, which I'm sure it's very fresh in your memory. But if I was told by Hashem Yisbarach, I was upset about something, and Hashem Yisbarach, Abaskal said, Yehudi Aina, don't be upset. I know precisely what I'm doing. I'd be happy. Sorry? Oh, very, it's very, very good. I'd still be happy. Even Nabius, not even Nabius. No, he's got a good point. Sorry? If I was the first name of the Shem, but the interesting thing is that Hashem says you can save one, and he goes and saves one. Right? Why? So there's a Gemara. We're all familiar with the Gemara. In Brachos and Daf Yud. And there it says, it talks about Yeshiyahu and Chizkiyahu. And Chizkiyahu was very sick, and we don't have so much time, so I'll tell you outside. He's very sick, the king's very sick, and Yeshiyahu Ben Omitz comes and says to him, you're going to die and you're not going to live. He said, Michael Lehi, why such a terrible punishment? He said, because you didn't do the mitzvah of Pru Revu. He said, because I saw this Chizkiyahu, I saw Baruch HaKadosh Shali, I saw Baruch HaKadosh, I was going to have children who weren't going to be any good. One going to be maling, one going to go up. To which the Novi Tanjan says to him, Bahadi Kashid Rahman Alama. The Keshboinus of the Rabban Hashem, what's that got to do with you? Your mitzvah is to have children. What's going to happen with the children? That's the Rabban Hashem's Keshbon. What's it got to do with you? You should. And he famously says to him, okay, give me your daughter and I'll, together we'll be able to have children. You're toast! You're finished. They've already, the tractate's already written and signed and sealed in Shemayim. You're dead. He says, Ben Omos, said Chizkiyahu to the Navi, I have a Kabbalah from my father that even if your head's on the chopping block of the executioner and the sword's ready to be drawn back, never give up old Takimaris. And of course he had Menashe Melech Yisrael. But Menashe Melech Yisrael, some unfortunately say, was the greatest Baal Tshuva of all time. There's always a hope. And how was it Baal Tshuva? He targeted the tshuva, but the other people that he corrupted did not do tshuva. So some sources say he had to come back in his Galgal 7 times. So there's an idea of Gilgal to put right things that you've done wrong. Here's a Rabbi Dessler. And you might not have seen this, because this is in Rabbi Dessler's Haggadah. And it's on page Lamed Dalet. And the beginning of the Haggadah has got the various psukim from the Chumash that go through, you know, lead up to the story and then into the Haggadah proper. And here he quotes the Arizal. Listen to this Arizal. Yodim divri ha-Arizal lo'oishal oilam ben Yisrael lo'hishtamed v'goy lo'hizgayr. We have a Kabbalah, he says it's a well-known thing, that no goy was ever megayr, and no yid was ever gishmat. Left Klal Yisrael and went away. And here he says, tons to say here, so let's see, I'm scared of the time looking at this. I'm going to skip out what he says. He quotes here the Yaivitz and go straight to what Rabbi Dessler has to say. But it's much more that's worthy of looking at. Beer Hainin, says Rabbi Dessler. The Yaivitz says that if a person has a holy thought at the moment of conceiving a child, even a goy, that has the ability to draw down a Jewish neshama into that physical life that's been created by the man and the woman. That, he says, is the makor of a Jewish soul being placed into a non-Jewish host. But, and this is interesting, listen to this. That a goy who has created a soul because of great, a holy thought, a noble thought. That means that Jewish neshama that's going to come in was already in Oilam Azeh. And it's coming back here. If part of its tikkun is to come back as a goy, to have to fight to get back into Klal Yisrael, because this person must have done some really bad things when he or she was a yid the last time they were here. It's part, and of course we all know what the halacha says when it comes to Chos Geiris. Somebody wants to become a Jew, we learn all out from Nomi and Ruth, you slam the door in their face at least 3 times. That's part of the tikkun. Where I live in America, people think that's great. Oh, you want to become Jewish? Oh, that's awesome. Right? Oh, great. Not great at all. Part of their tikkun is, no, get lost. Go away, you're a nutcase. They have to fight. That fight to get back in, that's part of putting right what they did wrong the last time. Listen to this. Amika mokam mechasa sem yizborach moitza achachach etzit konab bezgayra lebal yidach memen and yidach. But the Rabban Shem doesn't want to throw away any neshama. The Rabban Shem's door is always open to shavim, to people coming back. And we find gerim ke'elu. Now that means there's a diuk here, I think. There are different explanations where gerim come from, etc. And if you look at the Orachayim, he's got a whole hemshuch there, etc., etc. But he says, those who come in that way went on to become the greatest tanoim. Could go and shmai v'aftalion, etc. He brings a whole list. Maybe ben bonashal homan, lom de Torah b'rabim. And ben bonashal shal homan. Peladech ezach. So there is a gather in which a yid could make a mess big time of his or her life in Olam Hazeh, and they would have to come back to repair that damage in another Gilgal. So the neshama, because the Rasham never wants to finish a neshama. So my problem was like this. Moshe Rabbeinu is only one tefillah in Moshe Rabbeinu. So go back to the Medrash Rabbah. Listen to this. This is the eighth Yosef. So Moshe Rabbeinu, again, the Rabban Shalom says, I told you not to bring him. Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, but Rabban Shalom, you said that your door is always open to the Shavim. So listen to what the eighth Yosef says. Ratzalam, Asher Yisi Yodea Shehem Yase Esa Egel. Rabban Shalom said to him, even though I knew fine well what they were going to do and make an Egel, Aflefisha Ein Tainazum Mesapekas Lahashiv Tainaz Echo. But since my knowledge, my Taina, did not trump your taina, that your door is always open to mekabel shavim, I had to let it happen. Let's go back to the word shavim. Now, there is a Zohar which talks about exactly who the Erev Rav was, but I'm going to have the chutzpah to say, I think there's a diuk, and I've discussed this with Rabbonim, and they seem to like what this is, what I think. I think there's a diuk here in the Alshech and in the Loshon of the Medrash that gives us another answer. Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim for 210 years. And we all know that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says to the Zakenim, it's time to go out, they reject him and reject his claim that Hashem spoke to him for two very good reasons. Our Messiah, our Kabbalah, is that we're going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. You're 190 years premature. This can't possibly be. Second of all, and it's crucial, Mitzrayim's full of Aravai Zorah. And the whole thing with Midian, remember, was the Eitzah of Bilam, because he knows to disconnect Klal Yisrael from Hashem Yisbarach leaves us open to destruction. That was exactly the same Bilam who gave the same Eitzah to Paroi. Welcome them in to Egyptian society. As I've told you before, one of my shame, I like to say, if you really hate Jews, I mean, you really hate Jews and you want to get rid of them? Be nice to them. And it's the societies that see the most greatest welcome that see the greatest assimilation. Where I come from in Scotland, I think the intermarriage rate is 85%. It has been for a long time. For example, until recently, there's not a lot of anti-Semitism there. So that was Hovan Iskat Moloi. Paroi, from his chief advisor, Bilam, says to his people, the plan is, be nice to them, welcome them in. Mitzrayim was full of our avodah zarah. How can you take Hashem taking us out? We're full of avodah zarah. We're full of avodah zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, so what? Hashem says, so what? There's a tikkun for that as well. Oh, the mice with Bilam and the snus and the void of Zora and the boy down to... There's tikkun for this thing. Or we wouldn't be here. We got out despite the fact our Al-Bazanis were involved in that in a door of so much of void of Zora that this came to it. It can't possibly be true. Now that means to say it was only in the last 80 years, as we know, that it was really bloody and really horrible. So 130 years, I don't know how it works as a door, but 130 years... Then that was a time of Klal Yisrael living lives of avodah zarah. Incidentally, we worshipped the sheep just like they did, which is why we had to take the clay, tie it to the foot of the bed and cut its throat. That was the greatest semen that we had rejected it. That's why we had the other blood to be put in the doorpost of Bris Milah, because the first mitzvah that we voluntarily gave up was Bris Milah, as an indication that we wanted to be midstream. They wanted to live lives of midstream, they wanted to do the void of midstream, and there was 130 years of Yidden who lived that and died that. What happened to those Yidden? What happened to those Yidden? So, this is a chap, and it's from me, so it might be totally wrong. The Loshon of the Medrash, again, Amarti l'cho shalola erev behem erev Rav Hashem, says to Moshe. I told you I didn't want these people. Asa shayisi onav v'kosher, because you're an onav, because you're kosher. Amarti li l'onav mekablam hashovim. Yeah, you didn't want the Rav Hashem. But I've got to, but hadi kasher rahman olam l'cho, that's your cheshbon. As you said, lo b'shamayim, I've got to be the cheshbon of a human being. Menashe ben Akishon might well come from me as a son, but my job is pru revu. My job is to save and bring back lost souls. Shovim. If you're returning, you must have been there in the first place. And the Alshach, the Loshen is so different. I think the Loshen is so different than the Alshach because it's a parish. Isn't it good to be coined up the Nefoshes Avodas that are lost? If you lose something, what does that mean? You used to have it. That's why I think there was a chelik in the era, at least a chelik in the era of Rav, of these neshamas that were going to be brought back. Another chance. Look, a Russian somebody told me, you're giving a shiur, please don't mention Tisha B'Av, we're all depressed already. Tisha B'Av is the Yerushalmi says you live in a door, didn't see the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, you're behaving precisely as the door that God destroyed. But that doesn't mean to say there can't be matzliach. And it doesn't mean to say that we're not forgiven. Because the Rabban Hashem, as the Loshon, as we just saw, and the Alshik is a father to a son. Avinu Malkenu. But Avinu first before Malkenu, and every father wants his son back again. So even though it is a depressing time, but straight after it, it's Yemirot Zayin. It's the reconnection. Yeah, the temple burned, but Klal Yisrael didn't, in order there would be a reconnection of a father and a son once again. So in the Pasha, it's the transition of Moshe Rabbeinu from giving halacha and giving dinim to giving musa. And the biggest musa of all is that no matter what we've done, and even though we keep slipping up and messing up and coming back to another Tisha B'Av, don't forget there's Yemirot Zayin straight after that. That daddy still wants the sons to come back again. Hey.